give a recap, what will be, or a precap, as it were, of what the agenda is. The main item on the agenda is the objection process, and basically a talk reviewing the process and changes. And this is a document that has been sent to Rollo, to the ALAC for approval, and hopefully will be reviewed by them and voted on this week. So wanted to go through that, wanted to go through the changes that had been made to that document based on the review that was done by the Rollo. Then after that, talking a bit about what's going on with the Jazz Application Support Program, the process that's put on there, and basically talk about perhaps some of the concerns and some of the things that we can do to help overcome those concerns. Then the third item on the agenda corresponds to the third item in our charter, which are basically looking at new GTLD issues. As the new GTLD program rolls out, this group will be at large's way to sort of look at those things, identify where the problems are, and move on. Don't know if we should shut the door. Probably make it easier. So to go to the first item, which is the objection process. So we've been working on that quite hard, actually, and Dev, who will be talking about it some more, have been working on it quite hard, basically meeting weekly on it since this group was formed, because we wanted to make sure that it was in place in time for the new GTLD review process. And part of the process starts with the ability of at-large to make comments on the new GTLD applications in the first 60 days of those new GTLD applications, as once they're out. Then after that, there's another 5 months of process where at-large, if it decides that any applications are objectionable, I'm not sure that objectionable, are worthy of an objection. Objectionable is a bit strong, but are worthy of an objection on the basis of either community or of the limited public interest. I keep having trouble with that phrase. I keep wanting to call it MOPO, like we did in the beginning. But anyway, of the limited public interest, then there's a process by which this can be done. So I'm going to quickly give, so we created a draft document. That draft document was sent to the Rollos, to the regional at-large organizations, for comment. We received a number of comments. The changes were made to the process based on an analysis and a discussion of those comments. At-large new GTLD working group did a review of the document as changed after we had discussed those somewhat, and earlier this week we decided that it had been reviewed and it was ready to be sent on. So yesterday it was delivered to the chair of ALAC for consideration at this meeting. So at this point, and now that I've gone through the process, I'd actually like to turn the microphone over to Dev, who can basically give us a quick recap of the process, with a special attention to areas that were changed or modified based on the review process. Then I'd like to open it up to any questions that people might have on it and move on from there. So, Dev, please.
Thank you, Avi. Devananti Luxing. Okay, so the process began with an overview of what was in the applicant guidebook, and the applicant guidebook stated that the process for objecting to a GTLD application, funding for ALAC objection filing would be granted, would require a bottom-up development of potential objections, discussion and approval of objections at the RALO level, and a process for consideration and approval of the objection by the ALAC. So when we started looking at this the process for the in the applicant guidebook, we noted that there was an opportunity for ELAC and for at large and ELAC to comment on the GTLD applications during the 60-day application comment period. So thus the proposal treats, as Avi said, looks at both situations, looking to submit comments during the application comment period, and then looking to develop a possible objection statement for review. So the comment period during the 60 days, I would say, is very similar to at-large policy advice. We solicit comments. When the applications posted on May 1st, which is on May 1st, a review group will create a wiki space on the at-large wiki, and then, you know, informs all the VLOs and all the at-large via the mailing list and through meetings and so forth, and receive comments. And within the first month, after such comments have been received, a decision is taken by the new GTLD working group to decide whether a comment should be drafted based on the submissions received so far. A first draft of that comment is done, more comments received, a final comment is then produced, and then ELAC then votes on that statement and whether to submit it during that 60-day period. For the objections, there's a seven-month period from the start of the May 1st, and what happens there is that, again, comments are received regarding the objection, reasons to object based on the same community application, whether it's on community grounds or on limited public interest grounds. And the decision is taken again to whether, well, and this time, probably a working group is created, an ad hoc working group is then tasked to review those objection statements, comments, I should say, and then draft a formal objection statement. Now, this statement has to be in the form that will be submitted directly to the dispute resolution service provider. So after going, you know, doing a draft of that, getting more comments, feedback, a final statement is produced that is ready for submission to the dispute resolution service provider. And that final objection statement is then reviewed by all the VLOs. And there's five there are five regions, so there are five VLOs. And what happens is that at least three VLOs must agree to approve of that statement. And essentially, the off says to ELAC, essentially giving an advice to ELAC that you should object to this application based on the statement. The ELAC then has the final decision of whether to accept the advice of the VLOs to then submit. And if they will do a vote through the ELAC, and then if the vote is yes, then in coordination with ICANN, and then ELAC then files the objection to the appropriate dispute resolution service provider. I think I've covered the gist of that process. No.
Thank you. Before I open up for questions, I've been reminded by several people that I was terribly remiss in not doing a roll call. Somehow or other, I forgot that this was a working group meeting and didn't do a roll call. Just thought of it as a meeting. So, how is it we do a roll call here? Do we go around the table or does? Okay. So, please, starting with you, saying name and I guess the involvement with this.
Certainly. Cheryl Langdon Orr. I'm currently the representative from ISOC AU into AP RALO, and I serve the ALAC as their liaison to the CCNSO.
Wow, Cheryl, that was a lot. Andrew Mack, I'm one of the JAS members, amongst other things.
Evan Leibovich, vice chair of ALAC and former co-chair of the Joint Applicant Support Working Group.
Hong Xue, from China, member of AP Relo.
Tijani Benjima, member of ALAC and let's say a member of the working group, UGTLD working group.
Yao Viatu, member of ALAC and the working group.
Stephen Antilak Singh, Lakwalo Secretariat.
Avri Doria, chair of this working group and a member of At Large.
Sintra Suknanan, member of Lakralo, as well as vice chair of this working group.
Hello, I'm Rosa Delgado. I'm representing the European Broadcasting Union. We are applying for a TLD. So I don't know if it's the right meeting. I should come out.
Certainly welcome to be here, yes.
Yes, thank you.
I'm Jeffrey Smith with Commercial Connect, and we're applying for the dot shop, still applying for dot shop TLD.
Dawn Yankee-Love, member of the Media Net World Alliance.
Chris Dillon, University College London. We are very involved with teaching languages, and we're interested in the, particularly in IDNs.
Pascal Becono from Cameroon, ICANN Philo.
Aminata Siyu from University of Senegal, ICANN Philo.
Hossam Hassan, ICANN Fellow.
Ron Sherwood, CCNSO ALEC Liaison.
Alex Thomas and CC Group, we're doing security services for registries and GTLDs.
Thank you. I'd like to ask the people that are, I'll go ahead, and then I'd like to ask the people that are standing around the edge or sitting around the edge to just walk up to one of the microphones and introduce themselves as well. Huh? And introduce themselves.
Just say my name. Jim Prendergast, Galway Strategy Group.
Alan Greenberg, I'm the at-large liaison to the GNSO and workgroup junkie.
Kenneth Blix, CEO of Global Top Level, applying for a new TLD.
Mogens Nielsen, chairman of the same GTL.
Hi, Alejandro Moscol from Peru, ICANN Fellow.
Hi, I'm Peter Lamantia, part of Doc Club, a new GTLD applicant.
I'm Amanda Fessenden. I work with Brett Fosse on a variety of new TLDs.
Sophia Fan from Canaanet, from China. We are applying for GTLD.
Joseph Chu from Centronic, we're helping applicants who have GTLDs.
Philip Wergler from Switzerland, DNSNet.
Thank you. So I welcome the working group members, I welcome the fellows, and I welcome all the applicants. Okay. Yes, more and more all the time, I understand. Okay, so I guess getting back to now the objection process. So obviously there's as was explained, there's the two parts of the process. It's not meant to be threatening to applicants, but it is meant to basically deal with any issues in terms of the at-large or ALAC community, and in terms of the public interest. So I'd like to open it up now to any discussion or questions that people might have about the process, especially to those from ALAC who will be voting on the process. I'm assuming that you all have got it. I apologize for not having it on the screen. It's coming up, but what you'll find when you see it, and it is available, and somebody can probably put up the URL, it not only is explained in words, but it actually is flowcharted on a week-by-week basis what will be going on, how it will be reviewed internally, and so on. So it really is quite an involved process to get it out. That's certainly not something where there's any intention to make it easy to do. So I'd actually like to open it up to questions now. Alan, could you turn off your microphone? Thank you. There are no questions on it. No one would like to ask anything. Because if not, I'll move on to the next topic. Huh? That's true, if it came up. Yes? So, yeah, okay, so then we can just quickly go through the flow charts. At which point, Dev, I will turn the microphone back over to you to go through the flow charts. Yep. Yes, please.
Really just a matter of filibustering, I suspect, but it's kind of important to not have too much dead air in a transcript. Cheryl Langdonor from the Transcript Record. I think when you do see the flowchart, what's important to note is that what we have designed in our work group for the at-large community, recognising this is global and five regions and from the edges type stuff, is going to be markedly different to what, as applicants, you're going to see, I suspect, with an early warning system out of the GAC. We are a very, very transparent process here. Names will go up onto a list if they have been raised. Yeah, it's that sort of, and then in the next weeks, the following things happen. So you'll find it is in a goldfish bowl, I guess, is what's important to recognise. We're trying very hard, and I apologise that Olivier Clermont-Leblanc, who is the current chair of ALAC and a very active work group member here, has been liaising very closely with the tech team and people in the ICANN staff who are building the tool for the GAC. I do know he has seen it, and I do know he thinks as a discussion point for us at a future meeting, it will be on our agenda. But it's just one of those very different ways of approaching things where with the system of how the GAC is, as I understand it, is going to do it, you really will know at the end of the 60 days. We're here in the process. We have wiki-based, absolutely open to anyone in the known universe. You will be able to track if indeed anything has been raised with relating to your name. And I think that should give you a small measure of comfort. But it is the way at large and ALAC do things. We live in a goldfish bowl. And we're going to certainly walk the walk and talk the talk here. Not sure how much more filibustering I can do with this.
Coming up at the moment, I'd like to point out to anyone that is in the Adobe Connect, I won't ask you to try and read that, but basically you can.
There was an error converting the file. There's security restrictions on this document.
So first of all, anybody that is on there, and perhaps somebody can turn that into a friendly URL as well. And then, so sorry, this is... actually, you could almost pull it up that way. Yeah. Oh, goody. Okay, so go to the figures.
Please just say that those...
Sorry, those participating remotely will just need to click on the link and look at the document at home. We've now brought it up on the screen here in the meeting room. Thank you.
So, The index in the front shows that first there's an introduction, there's a summary, explanatory notes, and then actually the figures. So at this point, I'd recommend going to the figures and just basically looking through them quickly. It's a few pages down. Stop. Okay. So Dave, if you'd like to basically talk people through this.
Okay. Well, figure one shows the summary of activities that happens before the start of the application comment period. The idea being is that there's a new GTLD review group, and that GTLD review group has a certain task. So the GTLD review group is tasked with receiving the comments from at-large, either directly via email or, you know, by participating in the various relo conference calls, and will be updating the GTLD wiki comment pages. And at every week, we'll be giving a status update of comments received each week to the various at-large mailing list, and informing of the reloads of any upcoming deadlines, for example, the 60-day application comment period. So this describes what happens at the start of the application comment period, meaning that the review group has to be formed and ready to go from day zero. So when it starts, well, ICANN is going to publish all of the comments on May, all the applications, I'm sorry, on May 1st. Then, and then the review group then updates the our wiki with a list of all the applicant strengths and a link to the PDF of the application itself that ICANN has released. So that's what happens on the first week. Now, in figure two, up to week four of the application comment period, comments are received from at large. The review group will then update the wiki comment pages if it needs to. The idea being, instead of trying to create, we don't know how many applications, but instead of creating possibly dozens or even hundreds of application wiki pages, the idea is that when somebody submits a comment for the first time, it's a wiki page is then created. So, and that's an ongoing process within that week, within those first 4 weeks. So at the end of the fourth week, there's going to be a conference call, and the conference call will then look at all of the comments received so far. Figure three, which is week five of the application comment period, the review group gives an update again, and then the conference call takes place between the new GTLD working group and the review group, and it's held to review the comments on the that has been received. And for each applied for GTLD string that has a comment page, the decision is taken whether to draft a formal comment for possible ALAC approval. And if that's the case, then a person is assigned to then draft the comment. And then the GTLD review group, which is will then update the status of the decision made on the GTLD application dashboard. The concept behind the dashboard is that it's trying to give an overview of all the comments received on the individual wiki pages, so that it'll be like a snapshot showing which applied for string has received the most comments. So next figure, which is figure four, which is week six and seven of the application comment period. The person responsible for drafting the formal comments updates the appropriate wiki page with a draft comment. I need to just zoom up here. Right. The person responsible for drafting formal comments will then update the appropriate wiki page, and that happens during week six and seven. And of course, during that time, still, you know, the review group keeps updating the at-large mailing list on any new comments received and so forth. So then the next figure, which is figure five, which is the week eight of the application comment period, and that's the last week of the application comment period. The person responsible for drafting formal comments will then update it with a final comment for ALAC review. The ALAC then, well, either through a 5-day online vote or maybe have a conference call, depending on the number of comments it receives. Could then have a conference call and then, you know, deal with it on the conference call. And then for those statements approved, accepted by ALAC, ALAC will then submit it to the GTLD public comment forum. And if for some reason any comments are not approved by ALAC, the individual ALSs and or RELOs can, of course, submit the comments directly themselves. So that's what happens after the week 8. So after that, figure 6, which will be the third and fourth period, month of the objection period. That means that there are 5 months left. The GTLD review group keeps giving status updates. That's for the next 2 months, nothing really happens. It's just accepting comments on possible objection, objections that can be raised on community or limited public interest grounds. So figure 7, which is the fifth month, a conference call is then held between the GTLD working group and the review group, and they review all the objection comments. For each applied for string that has a comment page on objection grounds, the decision is then taken whether to draft a formal objection statement for RELO's approval to give advice to ALAC. An ad hoc working group is then assigned, and then in figure 8, after updating the wiki pages and so forth, in figure 8, which is the sixth month, 2 months left, the ad hoc working group will then publish a first draft of the objection statement for comments and so forth, and then by the end of the 6 month, the ad hoc working group will then publish a final objection statement for the ready for RELOs to review. So in the last flowchart, yes, there's an end to this. The figure 9, which is the seventh and last month for filing another objection, each of the RELOs then votes on the complete objection statements. And again, this is in a statement in a form ready to submit a dispute resolution service provider. Once 3 or more RELOs vote to send advice to ALAC to consider the objection statement to the GTLD applied for string or application, the ALAC then votes whether to accept the advice of the 3 RELOs or more. And then if ALAC votes yes, then in coordination with ICANN, because the fee has to be paid, the objection statement is then filed with the appropriate dispute resolution service provider. Whew. That's it.
Thank you very much, both for having done all the work to design this and for talking us through it yet again, something you've done many times. So it is not a 9-month period. It's a 7-month gestation for an objection. No. Okay. But anyhow, you wanted to make a comment.
Thank you, Cheryl Lindenor, for the transcript record. I just wanted to draw, because we have an opportunity to talk to people who haven't been living and breathing this every week, as we have every week for a very long time now. What you'll see is a number of opportunities there for ensuring that it is wide community base that brings such an objection through. And unlike other systems that may have been mooted or might be thought about, what we don't have in this model is a single objection getting carried through a process without an awful lot of due diligence. And it has to gain practically, well, literally, 3 out of the 5 regions' support. That's a good piece of the globe before it even gets up to the ALAC. So I think we need to keep that in mind. This is not knee-jerk reaction exercise. This is seriously, laboriously considered stuff. And there's a lot of opportunity for input along the way. Thank you, Avery.
Thank you. And as you'll probably also notice, with it all being very, very public, there'll be many chances for people to communicate with others about, wait a second, why did you say that? So I'd like to open if there are any questions at the moment on this process and on its details. I've already gone beyond it on the schedule that I plan to, but that's okay because in some ways of the 3 issues we have, this is one of the 2 most important. So Any comments or questions before closing this section of the agenda?
Just one follow-up concern.
Please, could you speak into the microphone simply for the people that are remote?
I just want to clarify, just so I understand, you need to object within 4 weeks of the opening. Is that correct?
No. We need to file a comment within the first 60 days. We need the object within the first 7 months.
So someone could object 6 months out on a GTLD applicant?
Theoretically, yes. I mean, okay. Someone using the word objection in two senses. One, there's an individual starting the objection process within at-large and ALAC. The objection would only come from ALAC at the end of the 7 months. But anyone could introduce an objection theme, as it were, into the system at 4 months. Propose an objection is probably a better way to put it. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
But given the speed of the process going through ALAC, I don't think an external person or organization could come to ALAC with 1 month remaining saying you've got to run this through after 6 months in.
No. In fact, my expectation is that for the most part, the things objected to will have been commented on. There's not a strict rule saying it must be that way, but my expectation is that you're going to have commented early if you want to start the whole objection process. Any other questions? Yes, please. Give your name, please.
My name is Hong Xue, member of AP Relo and member of the working group. It just strikes me the new information about independent objector. In the morning session, we've been learning from the staff that independent objector, the IO, will be taking care of the defensive registration for the trademark holders. So in addition to community-based objection and limited public interest objection, there's a third category very interestingly mentioned by staff in the morning. So I wonder, first of all, I need a clarification of whether the OI objection and ALAC objection are two different processes. Okay, so
yes,
thank
yes,
you. I raised this issue.
They are two different objection processes.
Oh, that's very good. So second one is that whether we're going to take care of the third category as well. Of course, I have no preference for that.
No. In terms of the application guidebook, while in the first 60 days of comment, at large and everybody else in the world can comment on absolutely anything, in the objection process, ALAC has only been given charge to comment on two areas. At least two areas they've been given standing where ICANN will pay. I am sure that ALAC could decide to file in another objection on its own if it came up with its own money. But that's not been defined as within at large, and it's certainly out of scope for this process. Any other questions?
Excuse me. Maybe it's clear and I'm missing it.
Give your name again,
Alex,
for the record.
Alex Stamos. What is the mechanism by which the GTLD applicant responds to the objections? Is that via the wiki, or is there an out-of-band mechanism for that?
That responding to objections is defined in the application guidebook. Once all the objections have been filed, ICANN publishes all the objections, then each of the objection providers will come to the applicant saying, an objection has been filed on your application. Here's the stuff of the application. You have 30 days to respond.
So it's all through TAS then. There's no mechanism for the GTLD applicant to then participate before the objection makes it through all that.
Formally, no. Informally, everything is published, everything is available. So as opposed to you not knowing that an objection is wending its way towards you, you'll be able to watch its process all the way through and basically interact. But there's no formal mechanism.
Assuming you watch every at-large group.
You could just watch the dashboard. But yes, okay. If I were in a company, I might assign somebody to look at it once a week. You know.
Sorry, Gabriel Sherrill Langdon, for the record. Is it a technical point?
First,
technical point.
I just wanted to make it very clear to people who are unfamiliar with wikis, it is a simple system of selecting the page, and it will auto-email you any update time at any time.
I know how a wiki works. I'm just saying, like, the interesting thing is that, I mean, you have this big process by which you could start all this conversation over, perhaps even just a misunderstanding of what somebody wrote, and so it'd be, there seems to be no formal notification mechanism that you've been targeted, and it just, you know, I think you want to make sure you have a system here where you don't have an arms race where people applying for the same thing go to put their friends and cronies and such into the at-larges to make problem, because, you know, it should be for real objections from independent folks, not for, you know.
I think you're going to have that issue with just about every objection. I'm assuming that the at-large group, this group, when it's looking at them, will take those kinds of things into account. I'm assuming on the wiki you'll be able to comment on things you see and say, wait a second, this, you know. So, I mean, there's going to be information. The scaling of this whole process is mind-boggling to all of us, you know. But, okay, I had, yes, make sure you give your...
Yeah. Sure. Andrew Bannock for the record. So the question that I'm hearing, actually, that you're saying is, okay, so what happens if there is an objection? And or if there looks as if there will be an objection, it's starting to go through that process. Is there, I think that the once it gets all the way through, then you have to respond per the terms of the guidebook. But in the interim stages, while it's wending its way through, do we have a mechanism for you to respond that's more than informal? And would it be possible for someone who has made an objection as part of this process to withdraw it then? On the basis, assuming that you've had a good conversation with them and have sorted out anything that might be a misunderstanding, do we have that?
The whole thing is very open and interactive, so that information would be captured. That information would be brought into the conversations with the working group, and they would take that into account.
I guess my point is my question is that I hope that we have enough flexibility in our system such that if you've actually resolved the question that got the objection started, that it doesn't continue to lurk in the system.
Well, but now I don't think that there's and I don't really want to go too far down this road, but if, for example, and I would not think of accusing anyone of anyone, if I get you to withdraw your objection by giving you a big chunk of money, but the people who are judging the objections decide that there's merit to it. The fact that you put it in the system, it's there then for the at-large group to look at and say, does this have merit? It doesn't matter who it came from within the at-large system. It's there. So getting that person to say, I don't care anymore, that probably is significant, but not necessarily. Yes, Alan.
A couple of points. I'm presuming that once a formal objection is launched, whether it's from ALAC or an individual company who thinks you're violating their rights or whatever, you will be notified. I'm assuming the ICANN process allows for that.
As soon as they're filed, there's two notifications. As soon as they're filed, they're notified, and then once ICANN has collated them all, then you get a formal notification, but they might be batched into groups, but yes.
ALAC was granted the right to make objections. We were asked to document the process. We are in the process of doing that. We were under no obligation to do this in a birdcage with everything visible at every step along the way. We have chosen to. So it's about as visible as any of the objection processes you can imagine. Clearly, if you choose to interact with us and give some reason why the objection is not valid, we have set a very high target for putting an objection through. It has to be deemed to be objectionable, if that's the right word, by, I believe, three of our five RALOs. And that's a pretty hard target because they're each going to look at it independently. So if something gets to the point where you have not been able to convince at least three of the RALOs that there's no reason for objection, then the objection may well go through. I don't think within the ICANN process there's any mechanism for withdrawing an objection once it's there. Clearly, you can present more documentation to it or whatever, and clearly if it's an objection over trademark rights and the two of you come to a deal to split the proceeds, no one's going to stop you from doing that.
I've got Sintra, and then I want to cut this discussion at this point because we are getting closer and closer to the weeds and details. You had one more? Okay, so then you'll be last after Sintra because I wanted to give at least 10 minutes to the other topic.
Okay, thank you, Avri. This is Sintra Supnanan. Certainly, this process is just based on the applicant guidebook, and nothing is stopping any TLD applicant from building in their own systems to ask the community to flag objections and also to kind of reach some kind of agreement or start their own investigations on this. Thank you.
Thank you. And last word on this?
Okay. Since we're talking about responses.
Give your name again, please, for record.
Since we talk about respond, it seems we're not talking about the same things. Actually, we need to separate the two different processes. Once an objection has been raised, we will enter into the objection and dispute resolution procedure. In that case, ALOC is a complainant, and the other party is respondent. Of course, in that procedure, there's a very detailed procedural requirement for information communication. Of course, the respondent will be notified, and they should file defense. The issue here is that the before an objection was filed, is there any procedure currently in our flowchart for the potential respondent to respond to the comments raised from a large community? It will be interesting.
The wiki is going to be open to comments, and they'll be able to respond to whatever has been put into the wiki and other comments with their own comments. Okay, so I'm sure, and you know, we'll be continuing to discuss this forever. So we will. The group will have to do it. Okay, I want to move on to the other one. I already am going to apologize to Sintra at first because we're probably not going to get to the third item on the list. The second item on the list is the applicant support program. And basically, I want to get to this one for two reasons. One is one of the issues that we've had with the applicant support is a real fear that outreach to the edges, outreach to the people who aren't here, outreach to your communities around the world is not happening. And there are only 4 weeks left, all things being equal. There are only 4 weeks left in the application process. And the application support process and the fee reductions for people in that process are a rather good opportunity for communities. So I basically want to make sure that people know about it and they actually do outreach. And it may even be for some of you who are aggregators of many applications to look at some of the people that you've maybe thought of and they can't really afford it, to realize that perhaps there is a way that they can afford it using the application support program as long as they meet all of the criteria that have been phased. So that, and of course, if you happen to be from a community or know a community or know a small community that deserves to go for it, to please make sure they have it. The other thing is the work is being set up for the SARP, which is the Support Applicant Review Panel, which is basically looking for experienced community members. When we're looking for experienced community members, we're looking for experienced community members that understand the economics of both developing economies and of running a TLD. We're looking for experienced community members who know how to game the system and recognize when somebody is gaming the system. Because who else understands gaming the system in ICANN better than us? So we need to be on the panel to sort of say, hey, good idea, but no. So the SARP is looking for many skills, for economic skills, for technical skills, for people that are willing to put a little bit of their time into helping review the applicant. Obviously, if you're helping an applicant apply for one, well, then that's probably not appropriate. But if you've got a lot of experience, and you must because you're here, you must because you're applying for a TLD, And if you've got development region experience, all the better. Please be sure that you apply for the SARP by March 31st so that there's a wide pool. I understand that the pool at the moment is not as big, and especially since most of us that were in the jazz that came up with the processes are not applying for it because they're sort of, well, you don't establish a process and then become the one to administer it. So we're staying away for it. We're obviously the ones that were most interested. We spent a year or so trying to create the thing. So I just wanted to get that on. I've got now a few minutes for people to ask questions or comment on that. Yes,
sorry,
sir.
Olivier Crépin-Neblanc for the transcript, and sorry I missed most of the meeting, but I was busy in another room. Just a question for the process with regards to the objections procedure, which report you have actually supplied. I asked you by email of the actual timeline. I understand the timeline is in the document itself. However, what I needed to know was the timeline of the ALAC vote that you needed. When did you need, when it was the latest time you would be able to get an ALAC vote in order to be able to follow your timeline in time?
Okay. This week. Basically, we submitted it to you. We submitted it to you with the understanding that if we got it in by the beginning of this week, we might be able to get a vote.
So,
the sooner we start, the better.
So it's on the record, so the vote will take place in our wrap-up session.
Sorry, I didn't know that that's what you meant by timeline. I thought you were talking about the whole timeline of
this thing. No. It was just to make sure this is on record, and so we know where we're going. Thank you.
Thank you. Yes.
Thank you, Avri. Yeah, Tijani for the record. Avri? Okay. So, Avri spoke about the outreach. It's a very, very important point, and I am afraid we are losing the point because time is almost out. It's finished. But we need the outreach. We need it for two main reasons. The first one is to encourage the possible applicants from developing economies to encourage them to apply for new GTLDs because there is this possibility of support, and to make them aware of this program to make use of it. The second main reason is that on the SARP, we have all the interest to have people from those regions to be on the SARP, and they will not be on the SARP if they don't know about it. So the outreach is something which is very important. What is done now is more or less online outreach. It is not enough for those countries, for those regions. We need events there where we have people from ICANN, high-level people from ICANN, who advertise more or less this program and those opportunities. Thank you.
Thank you. Sintra, you had something you were... And I was divided in too many places and didn't understand what you wanted to say, so please. Okay, yes, please.
This is Andrew for the record. I want to go on record as something, having said something that's come up in our conversations many, many times, which is I found the outreach efforts by ICANN as a whole pretty disappointing, considering how important this issue is and how difficult it is to reach this population. We know that this is a group of people that is going to be harder to reach. They're not going to be coming here, and yet this is in many ways, for me, a real testament to how serious ICANN is about reaching out to emerging markets and how serious they are about reaching out to underserved languages and communities. So I hope that that we will continue to stand strong on that and push them. This issue is not going to go away. There will hopefully be additional efforts and ongoing efforts and other rounds even. So that's item number one. On a very practical basis, let's say we got someone tomorrow. Is there enough time for them to make use of the services
to get an application in. I don't know, but I do think that we, as members of this group and as members of the JAS, have to think long and hard about what we're going to say when the application window closes, because we put in a real serious lot of time and a lot of good, honest effort, and to see so little come up and see so little of it in the press is very disappointing, I'll be honest.
Two points on that. One is, yes, I think, because if you look at the other part of the JAS proposal, which is there are people who are willing to help them write applications. Among the people in this room, I'm sure, there are people who have written enough applications and have answered questions 18, 20, 28, and 29, which are the ones that are really individual, enough times to be able to help somebody put one together quickly. On the outreach, I just want to add one extra point, was outreach on the program in general, not just the JAS part, was horrible. If there had been good global outreach,
especially for emerging markets,
in emerging markets on the program in general, telling them about this extra feature and this extra program would have been relatively easy. Come back to you as probably among the last comments.
Thank you, Avery. I just want to say that outreach has been poor in terms of this program, but ICANN and staff have come up with a lapel pin, which Avery is wearing at the moment.
That's what you were trying to say.
Yes, as well as you've seen these QRT codes around the venue. If you scan that, it will send you straight to the applicant support program page. So that's the mechanism of outreach.
It's a combat medal.
So, and are there more of them?
Absolutely. Let me go.
So perhaps everybody,
Cinder, it's not a pin, it's a combat medal.
Can get one and, you know, point people to the websites, point people to the whatever. And those of you that are experienced at applications, please help. And anything else before this meeting closes? And I apologize, the third item on the thing really is much more going to be, it's Cintra's point, but it's much more going to be part as the rollout really begins. At the moment, they were sort of looking forward to problems, but haven't really, because this objection process and the applicant support are really far more important to get done at this point than worrying about what went right, what went wrong, and what's not going right in the rollout. Yes, you wanted to...
Only at the finish is to say that this work group continues its work.
Yep.
And like all ALAC work groups, everything is transparent, everything is transcribed, three languages, audio, you can turn up to the meetings. It's up to the chair whether you get to speak, but there is a lot of opportunity to be engaged.
Oh, yeah, there was one other thing for the working group members that was on our agenda that we didn't get to, which is figuring out the time of the meetings. We've been rotating. It's not comfortable. It is comfortable. We have to talk about times, but we'll do that on the list. It was on the agenda, but we're not getting there. Anyway, anyone else have anything? I thank you all for coming. I thank you all for dealing with my confusions at the beginning and everything else. I thank the members of the working group for keeping me online. And thank you, and good luck to both to the applicants and to those who aren't quite applicants yet but need to be. Thank you.